Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
7:15 now, a lot of fog in the area. I get angry texts from people saying, please tell these blankety blanks to turn their lights on in the fog. So I will politely ask you to turn your lights on in the fog. It's not so much about you seeing as it is about you being seen. Highs today of 80, 20% chance for showers. Then, thankfully, tomorrow we get a little bit of a break. Highs of 73. And then by Sunday, it turns cold and breezy. So much so that the low temperatures on Monday night, Tuesday morning, 28 on the North Shore and 37 on the South Shore. There was a Democratic debate last night. Not sure how many of you watched it. But here to help us recap all of that, and if you go to foxnews.com, you'll see right there on the front page, Jeannie Zeno, Iowa Democratic debate, winners and losers. Well, the aforementioned Jeannie Zeno, our friend, joins us now, a professor of political science at Iona College. Good morning, Jeannie. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Tell me about, first of all, what was anticipated in the debate last night? What was it you were expecting to see and were in a way kind of disappointed or surprised that you did not see?
Well, we were expecting, and I know I was not alone, because of the back and forth between Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, because this is, you know, 20 days now, 19 days until the Iowa caucus. The polls are showing there's no clear front runner. We thought all the gloves were going to come off last night. It was going to be a raucous debate. They were going to go after each other. And yet it took, you know, Tommy, it was like 40 minutes before somebody said anything remotely critical of an opponent on the stage or even questioned a policy angle. And, you know, so if people tuned out of the debate, you know, you can't blame them. It was sort of a, you know, ho-hum, you know, a lot of attacks on Trump, understandably, but very little back and forth between the candidates. And what there was very mild. Even Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, with all their back and forth about whether a woman could be president and whether he said that, she said right there on the stage, oh, Bernie's a friend. I don't want to take him on and, you know, don't want to argue with him. And they let it rest. So, you know, it was a little bit disappointing for anybody who thought there was going to be a breakout moment.
Just like in real life. Oh, they're a friend. I don't want to say it in front of their face. I'd rather say it behind their back, right?
That's right. Although, you know, you go on Twitter, you know, we're all getting hit all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know what's going on.
That's why I don't look at it, Jeannie. That's why I don't read it. One thing I wonder about this.
I shouldn't.
Go ahead.
No, I said I shouldn't look at mine.
Yeah, don't look at it. If you don't look at it, it doesn't exist, does it?
That's right.
Existential question, perhaps. Anyway, so here's the thing with Elizabeth Warren saying that Bernie Sanders allegedly said a woman couldn't be elected president. Is that it? If that happened in 2008, why is she just bringing it up now?
No, it was actually she's claiming
2018.
And
I'm sorry.
2018.
Yeah.
Well, I think what had happened was the polls started coming out showing Bernie Sanders, you know, sort of, you know, still within the margin of error, but it was in the lead. And he started hitting some of the other campaigns a bit. You know, he hit Joe Biden on the war. There was then this allegation that the Sanders campaign was sending scripts out critical of Elizabeth Warren and others. So I think the campaign was frustrated. She then had a few leaks, certainly planted by her team, saying that he had claimed that in a private meeting. And then she confirmed it. I think it was Sunday night. And of course, he came back right away and said, that's ludicrous. I'd never say anything of the sort. So it's really a he said, she said. Nobody else was in the room. Neither one of them has backed down. Although last night they sort of, you know, Bernie handled it, said, I'd never say that. She said, I disagree. And they moved on.
Was there any kind of agreement beforehand, what with the Iowa caucus looming? And then we get in just the primary season, we start rolling downhill with that. And I didn't necessarily mean downhill, but you understand what I'm saying. They come in rapid succession. An agreement between the candidates, it's like, look, let's try to stay focused here and unite in a way, or is it all hell going to break loose when it does become primary season?
Well, if there is, you know, if there is an agreement, it would be the first of its kind. You know, these are high stakes for these candidates, particularly those who are not doing as well as they want to. Elizabeth Warren being one of them, you know, Mayor Pete, who slipped a bit. Those candidates don't have a lot of time. They are not Mike Bloomberg or Tom Steyer or Bernie Sanders, who can stay in this race because of the amount of money they have or have raised. So Iowa is going to be a must win for some of these candidates. So if there is an agreement, it would be against their own interests. And I would be very, very surprised. I think, you know, some of the candidates may have calculated that they would be, you know, the Democratic Party is so focused on beating Donald Trump that if they took on an opponent, they may well get some backlash there. And I think they may have decided that. And I'm not suggesting they should go completely negative, but they do have to differentiate themselves from their opponents. Otherwise, the polls remain where they are with, you know, Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden sort of jockeying in those lead progressive and moderate wings. And, you know, sort of Elizabeth Warren falling back a bit, Mayor Pete falling back, and everybody else weigh that.
We could take a break when we come back. I'd like you to talk about something I read in your piece as it relates to the actual election itself and what the candidates were doing, the Democratic candidates, and where they were and what the president was doing and where he was. All right?
Absolutely.
Hi, Jeannie Zeno, our guest, professor of political science at Iona College. 721 traffic now, WWL. 725, Tommy Tucker talking to our friend Jeannie Zeno, professor of political science at Iona College. Jeannie, we've known you for about 5 years now, I think, huh?
I know. We go way back, Tommy.
Way back. Anyway, she's got a piece on the homepage of Fox News, Iowa Democratic Debate, Winners and Losers. And one thing that I found fascinating, under winners for the Democratic debate last night, you list President Trump. Explain that, please.
Well, last night, as you probably know, while the Democrats were all in Iowa, where many of them have been for a year or two, some of them practically living there, a state that, by the way, is going to go to Trump in November of 2020, November this year during the election, the president was where the Democrats should be in Wisconsin because, you know, this race is going to be fought out in about 7 to 9 swing states, Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, Florida. And the Democrats, nothing to do with the candidates, but the Democratic primary process has largely ceded those states to the president for 1 or 2 years at this point, where he has had almost full range to go to campaign, to rally his base and the troops. And the Democrats who want to win have to be in Iowa and then New Hampshire and then South Carolina and Nevada. So the president really wins here. And I would say the one person, only because of his enormous wealth, who has been able to counter this so far has been Mike Bloomberg. I don't know how much you guys are getting down there, but up here we are inundated by his campaign commercials. He's skipping these early states, and he's really hitting Trump hard in those swing states. And so for that reason, I think the Democrats, you know, gave Trump a win again last night to be where they should be.
So in terms of strategy, when it comes to somebody like, it was Steyer didn't do too well last night, did he?
I don't think so. You know, Steyer's got the money to keep this thing going as long as he wants. But I think at some point, and I think I wrote this in the piece, Democrats are going to start to ask, you know, if you really care about the party and the causes and all of these things, why don't you put your money behind another candidate who can win or behind some of these causes? And I think he might very well find himself doing that in the near future.
So is Michael Bloomberg running as a Republican?
And no, Mike Bloomberg is running for the Democratic nomination.
Yeah,
he's running as a Democrat, although, as you know, he was a Republican mayor of New York City.
That's what
and
confused
then he was
me.
An independent. Yeah, and so now he's a Democrat. You know, I wrote another piece in Fox not that long ago. I think Mike Bloomberg, as much as he would like to be nominated, I think his real goal is to defeat Donald Trump. There's a long simmering tension there. And nobody has the funds like Mike Bloomberg, who is worth, you know, over $50 billion and has already pledged to spend at least $1 billion to defeat Donald Trump. And you notice his language, not to win, but to defeat Donald Trump. He just bought a Super Bowl ad for $10 million, which we will all see. I think it's a 30-second ad. You know, that's like, you know, I said the other day, it's like me buying a pair of shoes when he spends that much. So, you know, he is out there and he's going to hit hard in Super Tuesday states like California, which have, you know, compared to the early states, which have, you know, 100 or so delegates. California has over 400 delegates. So he's really, I think, out there, number one, to defeat Donald Trump. He set up this organization for digital advertising and voter targeting. He wants to close the gap the Democrats have way behind the Republicans in terms of digital advertising. You know, my son plays a lot of games and YouTube, all these things. He's always saying, when I play, you know, these games, there's a lot of Mike Bloomberg ads, you know, so he's hitting hard. But he's got the funds to do that. And Amy Klobuchar, some of these others, they just don't have that funding.
Jeannie, thank you so much. I appreciate your time. I'd like to talk to you once a week about the whole nomination process, race, et cetera. And you and Jordan can talk about that. Have a good day. Tell your son
Absolutely.
To put down the games and read a book. Just kidding. Right now it's time
he's in school right now, I hope. So.
Good. Thank you, Jeannie. Time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.